Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Update, kid.
That's a flex. You an anime fan or something?
Genuinely not.
I mean, update, kid.
I saw that tweet from Jeff Paston and just started licking my chops.
Love it.
All right.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yep.
You're a fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
No, I can't say that I am.
Okay, all right. Just
unfortunately,
those names just fly off your tongue.
May they all sign with the Tigers.
Yeah. Let's hope.
All right, so we're talking about the Lions here a little bit, and if you're a defense wins championship person, if you believe the defense wins championships, you're kind of happy. I mean, the truth is, with their offensive struggles, they still are a top 10 offensive team, and they're a top 10 defensive team this year. Like, hey, you're getting what you want. So the record doesn't reflect it right now, but bottom line is, if that's the way you believe, fifth in total defense. Let me see what they are in scoring defense. They are a little bit lower now, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10th in scoring defense. So huge and important metrics. Build your case. Defense wins championships, right? 248-539-9797.
Yeah, I think it's certainly an advantage to have a really good defense, and it helps that your offense is also really good. But I'll feel better about – I guess I feel better that your defense is better.
Yeah, I don't love it, but it's okay. I'm willing to talk about it and discuss it. And there's a lot of people that I know have historically bought into this. Steve writes in, we're fine. We're still a top 10 team. I'd rather have 10 wins and get into the playoffs and reach the Super Bowl than go 15-2 and lose in the first round.
Well, so would everybody.
It's not like, though, there's a correlation between only winning 10 games and winning and getting to the Super Bowl, right?
Correct. I do have a growing concern. And that is...
This is what you said before the break.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just delivering on this. Mm-hmm. It's not with the offense and it's not with the defense. It's with the return game. The Lions rank in the bottom third in kickoff returns. Now, it's not much, right? When you're talking about kickoff returns, just how many are you getting a chance to return? It's 25 yards. And, you know, it's if you look at the teams that are in the top third, it's only 27 yards. It's 2 yards. It's not much of a difference. But nonetheless, it's where they rank.
Mm-hmm.
The real concern comes with the punt returns. The Lions are 28th in the NFL, averaging only 7.3 per punt return, and that's with having a 65-yard return for a touchdown.
Right.
If they didn't have that, they'd probably be dead last. That's a problem. I think they need to find a way to bolster their return games, because we all know how big having a huge return can be a lift to a team.
Sure.
And now you're in positive territory. They need to find a way to improve on that. And we've seen that from a time to time that they'll use Khalif Raymond as a kickoff return guy. They did that against Philadelphia, and it really didn't help. He's a punt return guy, and he's awfully good at it. But as a team, like I said, 28th in the league and would be dead last without that big return he had.
Well, it just makes your offense's job a little bit harder. And, you know, if you're starting field position, is a huge factor in who wins and who loses football games. So having a strong return game is very, very helpful. 248-539-9797. Feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. Carson, you've said it yourself. Defense doesn't win championships anymore. Offenses do.
I know. And I'm not – look, I'm telling the defense wins championships crowd, you should be liking the way this team is trending.
I personally – I've said it. I do think offense wins championships, and I don't love this. Now, it doesn't mean – look, Detroit's offense was way better than Philadelphia's last year. Philly won the Super Bowl. So it's not. It's the only. It doesn't mean it's the only way you can get it done. But if I'm building a team, I loved what the offense was last year. I just hope, like, when we start talking about a little bit of defense, a little bit more defense last year would have helped that team. Right? They're getting more than a little bit more defense this year. Right? This is not a little bit more defense from a year ago. This is a lot more defense from a year ago. So I guess the ultimate question is, when asked to do so, can the offense win when they need to put up 30 points? You know, can that, when the offense has to have that kind of game, are they capable? Shannon from Atlanta says the answer is yes, but they have to adjust it for game plan and in-game coaching. Unnamed texter, difference this year could be the timing of our injuries and the fact that there are no season-ending injuries. Let's peak at the right time. Yeah, you know, there's so many guys that are supposed to come back, but I, my guess is they're doing this in every town, right?
Probably, yeah. Yeah. Because everybody has to deal with injuries, and some more significant than others. Fortunately, like, a big difference between last year and this year, I said earlier, it's the extent of the injuries. These are guys that are coming back. Last year, guys weren't coming back. You know, Aiden Hutchinson wasn't coming back. Aleem McNeil was not coming back. Malcolm Rodriguez is not coming back.
Yep.
All these guys weren't coming back last year. It feels like the only guy that got back was Alex Anzalone. Everybody else, gone.
True.
So fortunately for this team, knocking on wood, that the injuries have not been so severe. They've been able to get by. Their 6-4 is not a great record, but it's a winning record. And getting Terry and Arnold back in the next, hopefully, game or two, coming back from concussion would be big. Getting back DJ Reed is going to be big. Getting back Kirby Joseph is going to be huge. And getting back all three of those guys is going to be massive.
Regarding Danis Jenkins and the topic we had last hour, is he going to be there in the end? I saw Jenkins play in the G League a few games, and win or lose, he was putting up numbers. They need to keep him. That's from Deontay. Unnamed texter, Jenkins been a scorer everywhere he's played. The Pistons know what they have in him. Jerry says, how can you bench a productive player in favor of a dude who's broke for 2 years? Are you talking about, when you say broke for 2 years, you're talking about Jaden Ivey? Look, if you think that Danis Jenkins is going to keep this spot when Jaden Ivey comes back, I don't know what to tell you. Ivey is going to get a crack to get his job. I mean, and he's going to get more than a crack. I mean, they're going to play him to either see how he fits in and how what role he'll play with this team as they go for the East, or they're going to play him to trade him. But they're not going to have him sitting behind Danis Jenkins, I suspect.
No.
Anthony in advance says, Danis Jenkins feels like a Jeremy Lin type story. I can understand that. I mean, you know, it hasn't been a big sample size, but...
No, it's a very small sample size.
Lin's sanity went on for... People can't keep Danis Jenkins from getting to the basket. I don't get... Like, he... How did he go undrafted?
Right. Yeah, Linsanity was a whole different level. And the guy was averaging like 14 assists a game to go with his 25 points. And he just went on this crazy, crazy tear for, what, 40, 50 games?
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch. Danis Jenkins has done it for a few games where he's scoring a lot of points. And the assist-to-turnover ratio was very nice. I think he's a nice piece to have coming off the bench. But, yes, when Jaden Ivey gets back and healthy... Jaden Ivey's going to play.
Brian writes in, Danis Jenkins is a nice piece to keep in the rotation because he does play defense, facilitates the offense, and is efficient from the field. Sasser is a shoot-first guard who can get hot but doesn't facilitate the offense well. I'll tell you one thing about Danis Jenkins that I think is a really, really valuable asset. When the shot clock's winded down, if the ball's in his hands, he will get a good shot off. And I certainly do want to see it, like, against Oklahoma City, but... 248-539-9797. 97.1 The Ticket.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Back to your phone calls in a moment here on Carson Anderson. Gator, I was out there bouncing around the office during a commercial break.
Sugar Rang?
No. The guys were talking about Drake May's nickname. Have you heard Drake May's nickname?
I have not. Quarterback for the Patriots.
Kang, have you heard Drake May's nickname?
Yeah, Evan told me.
So I assume it's not Mayday?
No.
No, that'd be too clever.
What I'm about to tell you is true. His nickname is Drake May.
What?
Because he's so good, he doesn't need a nickname. They call him Drake May. That's the joke, is that his nickname is his real name. So he's Drake May. And that's what they're calling him in New England.
Well, that's fun.
Is this enough to make you start to hate Drake May?
No, I like Drake May. Right. It's a dumb nickname, but which I suspect that something else will emerge as he continues to emerge as a budding star in the league.
People are using it.
Uh-huh. We'll see.
You don't think it's going to last?
I don't think that one's going to stick. Kang, do you think it's going to stick?
It hasn't come out of Boston. This is a Boston thing, right, Doug? I think this is they're saying it.
Yeah, he's like walking. I guess he was meeting with the media, and one of the players like, there he is, Drake May. And some local broadcaster called him Drake May.
I think it started because somebody had a stutter.
No.
Maybe the Rewind app was skipping.
Right.
Actually, Evan said he heard Tom Brady say it on a podcast and thought that it skipped. And I had to go back and listen to it again. And I'm like, what the hell is this all about?
You could have told him Brady don't make mistakes. You don't make mistakes.
No, I don't. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Ray in Romulus. Hi, Ray.
Hey guys, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, I got one comment about the Pistons that I saw, hoping is not going to be disturbing. Kate, first game back, you remember he had the issue with him holding the ball with the double team coming and creating those turnovers. He had three of them in the game that were basically non-pressured turnovers. I'm hoping he gets back to moving the ball around and not letting the ball stick in his hand, because while he was out, as you noticed, we moved the ball around great and we were able to score easily. So that's just one concern, just making sure he doesn't.
It's not as if they lost a bunch of games while he was in the lineup. I mean, they're scoring plenty. And you have to consider a couple of those games when he was in the lineup, he was clearly the go-to guy because of who else wasn't in the lineup.
Right. I know. But Greg Kelsey did make the comment as well last night. I just wanted to throw it out there. I just hope he doesn't have the ball sticking in his hand when the double team comes. Now, in regards to the Lions, my concern is this. I'm hoping Dan Campbell does not forget how to coach. I mean, what I mean by that is that you're supposed to learn from your prior past failures. In the San Francisco game, you know, the calls, he did it again, and then he came out to the public and said, my bad. Listen, you only have 17 games. You cannot be practicing during a game. You have to be firm.
Can you tell us what you're referencing here?
What I'm referencing would be all of the fourth down plays, the third down calls. You know, I'm so sick and tired of them using the third down as a short yardage run to get to the fourth down. I mean, we did that on a number of plays. It was just a simple run up the gut because we know we're going to go to the fourth down. I hate that approach.
Well, it didn't work against Philadelphia, but hasn't it worked for the Lions over the last couple of years?
Let me finish. And then the other item is this. Why we didn't go off tackle? Well, how come we didn't do zone runs or wide outside runs when you knowing that you can't beat the guys up the middle? He did not go to any of those type of runs, and that's Gibbs' strength, and we would have killed those guys because they were so bunched up the middle. But my point is this, you know, the field goals, okay, not kicking a field goal. Those are the examples I'm saying, hey, you were supposed to learn that back in San Francisco.
But the San Francisco game is, I mean, that's there was one play that they went for it on fourth down. It was a drop pass by the receiver that would have given them the first down. And that's the one that people go back and say, well, they should have kicked the field goal. And it was no gimme. They would have made the field goal. What should have been the gimme was converting the fourth down, and the guy dropped it.
It should not have came to that last
right,
play.
Because what doesn't matter. He dropped the ball.
No, hold on. Now you're changing. Now everyone
I'm not changing anything. All I'm saying, because we go back, we've got, we've
I can't believe we're still talking about this.
Yeah, we've litigated the NFC Championship.
You brought it up. You're the one who brings it up, and I'm saying that.
Stop
for a second, Ray. Ray, stop for a second, okay?
Go ahead.
Because you brought that up, and then you're using that as something that happened over 2 years ago as an example. They continued to fail because he didn't learn from his mistakes, when in the 2 years after that, they continue to do the same thing with success. They ran into a roadblock against Philly. I'm not happy with how things worked against Philly, particularly on fourth down, but that had been their MO for the last 2 years, and they won a ton of games doing it.
But, guys, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. We're talking about in-game management. You don't do that all the time.
Hold on. Maybe you're misinterpreting this. I agree. Sometimes you do take the points. Gator, do you think sometimes you do take the points?
Yeah.
Do you think sometimes you should punt?
Yeah.
Okay. You're misinterpreting what we're saying. What's going to be interesting is riding this fourth down thing for so long, they've had a ton of success with it. And in the period of time that they got the roster up and running, so 3 years up until last weekend, they won more games in the NFL than any other team in the regular season, given it was in the regular season. But they had created this personality and the strategy that made him the winningest team in the NFL. Does a terrible, let's be clear about it, terrible success rate against Philly, where he probably shouldn't have gone for it as much as he did and read the room a little bit, which is punt and play defense in a field position game. Does that make you change who you are completely? Do you gear back a little? Are you just...
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to.
Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Simply a little bit more aware of the down distance time score, what type of game it is, what your defense is doing. I think it's a minor adjustment. I don't think it's a major adjustment. I think it's a very minor adjustment.
Yeah, I think it's all situational and circumstantial, and the situations and circumstances of that game would have had me personally doing things a little bit differently.
Yep.
But I'm not sure how often those circumstances are going to come up again where they're playing outside, where the elements are really going to wreak havoc on things. They've got what? The game against Chicago? Is that the last outdoor game they have? Yes. So that's the only game where elements can come into a factor until the playoffs.
I probably wouldn't have gone for it in my own territory when they faked the punt, which is, you know, whether they were going for it. Like, that's not a traditional going for it. You're trying to fool a defense, fake a punt. But the only other one I wouldn't have gone for is the last one. And it is because, I got to go back and see this. They were, by that point, you knew what kind of game this was. Like, when the game started, you didn't know that your defense was going to bottle them up most of the game. You didn't know what a premium points were going to be when the game started. You might have had an idea. As the game went on, the last time they went for it is probably the one time that I would have chose to kick. And that was from the Philly 45. They had 4th and 3, and Goff threw an incompletion. You punt there. You get them off the field in 3 plays. You get the ball back with a fresh set of downs. At that point, I would have known my defense is playing well. Low possession game. It's a 7-point game. If I punt here, I think my defense is going to get the ball right back to me because of the way they've been playing. That's probably the only one that would have changed for me personally.
I think the 4th and goal from the 4, when they could have kicked a field goal early in that game,
You didn't know in the early in the game what kind of game it was going to be, though.
No, you didn't. Because it's 4 yards, it's not like they're right there. I mean, it's not terribly far away, but
yeah, I hear
you. My first guess was I'll just take the points here and move on.
I guess for people who are really mad about them going for it 5 times and not getting it 5 times, keep in mind that the logical argument to saying he went for it too much is what kind of game was it? Early in the game, it hadn't been established what kind of game it had been.
Yeah, and I'm not mad at Dan Campbell at all. I mean, it's I know who he is, and I would expect that the next time these circumstances and situations come around that might be looked at differently, and I hope that is looked at differently. But this is our coach. He's a gambling kind of guy, and it's worked out tremendously in his favor during his tenure as the head coach.
Corey is next. Hello, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
What's up?
Listen, man. Okay, you guys keep talking about, oh, it worked in his favor, over the course of years. Can we agree that this is not the same offensive line?
Corey, that's fair. And I think it's being established, and he's learning that. He said as much on Monday.
100%. So again, we can't say, hey, this is who we are. and run the ball on third and fourth down when we have an all-pro punter when we could pin Philly deep and make them drive the field. And I heard you guys say, hey, we didn't know what kind of game it was, so what kind of game this game was going to be. We knew in warm-ups that the points was going to be at a premium with how the wind was blowing. So we take what field position and what points we can instead of having our defense on the field as long as we did, putting them in short field positions like he did this Sunday.
Let's go to Ali in Dearborn. You're next. What's up, Ali?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey, I'm just calling to say I heard some guys say the play calling. I don't think the play calling is the issue. You know, our defense held the Eagles to 16 points, and they just won the Super Bowl. You know, our O-line, I believe, is still better than 50% of the NFL. I mean,
but it's not as good as it was last year.
It's not, but still a lot better than most teams, you know, and we have a great defense. I think our issue is, you know, Goff in cold weather is not good. Well, he's underperforming, you know. Like, I love Goff, and I want
I got to tell you, there are metrics that show, like, one of the bloggers did stats. He's not as bad in cold weather as you think. He was bad this time around.
He's really bad. Well, his completion percent was really bad.
Yeah, but his outdoor stats aren't nearly as bad as you think. I hope this was a one-off, but that was a bad game.
No, yeah, it was a really bad game, and I think he might have to start taking accountability on that. Cause,
what does that mean?
You know, our defense played great.
What does that mean?
You know, taking accountability?
Yeah.
That, like, you know, say my bad after the press. He's like, hey, you know what, that game might have been on
me. He literally told us that on Tuesday. He said, I got to be better, for what it's worth. 97.1. .248-539-9797. Feedback coming to the Carson Anderson inbox. Look, it's thought in talking about the Lions, we got to the point where we were looking to the next game, but the phone call started coming in about the last one still. Campbell changed the NFL and teams going for it on fourth down. That's from an unnamed texter.
Completely did.
Tired of Dan Campbell saying we have to clean things up, and we will. He says that every week, but they keep making the same mistakes. Dan Campbell's full of hot air.
So do you want to change the coach?
Yeah, I mean, look, I guess that's the question. You're tired of it, so what's the solution? Because Dan Campbell is still, where do you think he ranks in terms of NFL coaches?
Top five.
Okay. If you have a problem with a top five coach, I don't think you're going to find any coach that satisfies you, that eventually you won't find something that bothers you. Because of course he's going to say or do something that you don't agree with. Every coach is. Every single coach. They don't get everything right. And by the way, when he says, we have some things to clean up and we will, how many times have they lost back-to-back games? Are they cleaning it up? Then something else comes up and they clean that up. But if they're not cleaning it up, they'd be on losing streaks. They were literally, for three calendar years, the winningest team in the NFL. You and Gator keep defending Holmes, Campbell, and Goff. You both sound really silly, by the way.
For defending guys that are the architects of a really good football team?
I mean,
I don't think Jared Goff's the best quarterback in the league. I don't think he is by a long shot. I think Brad Holmes has holes in his game, and I think Dan Campbell has some holes in his game as well. But a team that went 12-5, won the division, won two playoff games, and then went and also went to the NFC Championship game, then followed up with a 15-2 season where I don't know how many guys, 15 guys were hurt on that team, and then lose in the second round of the playoffs. And now here they are, and by the way, won the division again. And now here it is, the third year in succession, they're still poised to make a playoff run. What's the problem?
I defend them when criticism goes too far, in my opinion. That's it. They're everybody deserves criticism. Clearly, you feel the right to criticize our show. I feel the right to criticize a caller. And we will criticize Holmes, Campbell, and Goff. We stop short of what some people are comfortable of saying. Things like Dan Campbell's full of hot air that we just got. Dan Campbell is so upfront and so well-respected in that locker room. When Dan Campbell says something, they respond. So I will defend Dan against that criticism. I'll defend against the people that say you can't win with Dan Campbell. You cannot win with Dan Campbell. And I will ask them the question, so you fire him. If you really believe that, you fire Dan Campbell, right? I will defend people that say Goff, you can't win with Goff because he's immobile. I will defend Jared Goff on that. Because the only way you can be successful is be elite in terms of accuracy and where to go with the football. And he is. He wasn't Sunday.
No. No,
and that's deserving of criticism, and he himself said he had to be better. So the guy who said Goff needs to be accountable, Goff stood up on the show and said exactly that.
Which is kind of what he echoed after the game as well.
So these are the criticisms that I defend them against. If you want to say Goff played poorly, I agree. You think Campbell made some bad calls? I agree. You think Holmes has missed some picks? I agree. Can't win with Goff, can't win with Campbell. Holmes isn't a good GM. Should have made a trade at the trade deadline. Maybe should have, maybe shouldn't have. But at the end of the day, there are criticisms that we will defend him against, yes.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday or this past weekend was the perfect time for these, you know, the people that don't like the Lions or skeptical of the Lions to say, you can't go for a fourth down that many times because they literally went 0-4. You can't win Goff. No. He had like his worst game of his, you know, career as a Lion, basically. So this is they're just piling on recency bias. And for those people, honestly, the only thing that's going to stop them is win the Super Bowl because they'll always be able to say, well, what have you won? Yep. And you can't come back from that because the only one team wins the Super Bowl. Yeah. what has Josh Allen done? What have the Bills done? Nothing, I guess. They suck, right? Because they haven't won the Super Bowl.
Can't win with Josh Allen. Justin in Wisconsin, you're on 97.1. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. First of all, I know we got through the Lions ranting and all these. I'm very appreciative of the Lions. Huge fan of Campbell. Huge fan of the organization. I couldn't deal with the trade deadline. And I feel like there's a meeting that happens between Steve Yzerman and Brad Holmes where they both agree to do nothing at the trade deadline. Like, just one tiny all-in move for both those teams. And I mean, the Red Wings are in a way different position than the Lions, obviously. But
is there such thing as a tiny all-in move? come on, it's an all-in move is a massive move. It's not. There's nothing tiny about an all-in move.
Show me you care. Like I think, like obviously, we want to see everyone all in on a championship, and obviously, the Red Wings just want to make the playoffs. But just something, and I just feel like they have the same theory: draft, develop, and it works. But it. You also have holes. Like, it's very clear. And so, I don't know. It's funny that both of them have a similar strategy, it seems like.
Well, I guess when you come away from a trade deadline in the NFL and you don't make a trade, then you can have that attitude. But the reality is, you don't know what they were trying to get. If the Lions were pressing other teams to try to get an offensive lineman and that team was like, absolutely not, we're not giving that up. Or, yeah, we'll trade it, but it's going to cost your first round pick. And if you would still make that move, then I guess that's where you want to see the all-in thing. And you'd love to hear at some point the F them picks attitude to get that difference maker player. I don't know if that difference maker player was available. I wish we did know. It'd make it a lot easier to be critical of something or not critical of something if you knew.
That's the issue, yeah. There's you don't hear about trades that weren't made.
I mean, sometimes you do years very after
rarely,
the fact.
Yes, very rarely do you hear about trades.
Like, hey, you know, Red Wings didn't trade Steve Yzerman for Alexa Yashin. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, but you hear about those way, I don't know how many years later you hear about that stuff. The Pistons were trying to get Kobe Bryant, you know? I mean, you hear about that many years after the fact. I don't know if you'll hear about trade rumors at the NFL trade deadline about a rental player, about a rental offensive lineman, which is what they needed at the trade deadline. But they didn't acquire.
248-539-9797. Feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. Why isn't anyone talking about how bad Jalen Hurts was? He only got 16 points. They just won the game. They are in Philly.
Oh, they're definitely talking about that in Philly.
And I don't want to overplay. Like, one of the things is I love what the defense did. And I really love that they neutralized the tush push. But that's an offense right now that's spinning its wheels there a little bit in Philly. And so I don't feel like we can get too carried away praising the defense, because Philly's offense isn't exactly clicking either right now.
No, when Saquon Barkley is averaging 3.8 yards per carry, yep, and he's literally half the output that he had last year, that's a big issue.
That's a reality why it was a bigger test to see if the offense with Dan Campbell calling plays could really continue what they did against Washington, against Philly, and then they couldn't. And they're going to have to be better for some bigger games coming up.
But it's interesting how they're critical of Jalen Hurts when Jalen Hurts has turned the ball over twice this year. One fumble and one interception. He's got 16 touchdowns in the air, and he has scored 6 on the ground. And they're unhappy because why? A.J. Brown speaks up?
Yeah, right. And he did get the ball, and they did cheer. Update from Lions practice on injuries. We'll get to that today at 1:46. Plus more of your phone calls and feedback. Carson Anderson, 97.1. Hey, sports fans. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Here is the update from, let's see, who? Richard Silver from the Detroit News. Terron Arnold and Kirby Joseph were not seen during the open portion of Lions practice today. Brian Branch, toe, Penei Sewell, ankle, and Taylor Decker, shoulder, were all out there after being estimated as DNP yesterday. So apparently they are back on the field in one form or another.
Yeah, it sounded like Dan Campbell thought that those guys were going to play, that they'd be able to. And I just get nervous with the 2 games in the 4 days. You know, guys go down like flies during games at times. And with a short week, I get nervous.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Obi in Canton. Hi, Obi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I am probably gathering from what I'm listening to, I'm probably in the minority, but I think everybody just needs to relax a little bit. I think if you kind of look, you know, when we were looking at the schedule preseason, I think most people had us at about 6-4, maybe 7-3. I don't know if many people had us at 8-2. I'm sure there were some out there. But, I mean, with the exception of losing to Minnesota and then winning at Baltimore, you kind of switch those around. Most people probably had us at 6 wins through the first 10 games. I think the offense is going to figure it out. I think the defense looks impressive so far. I think it's just about kind of, hey, you know, gelling together a little more, and I think everything will be fine.
Well, and you're right about what people probably projected the record to be. What's weird is how we've gotten here isn't what people would have expected. Like, I don't think people thought in a million years they'd win at Baltimore, but they did.
Yeah,
they probably didn't think they'd lose at home to Minnesota, but they did.
I mean, you know, losing your offensive coordinator, and I mean, he was great, and obviously the shuffling of the offensive line. I mean, you're not going to get things perfect, and I think Dan Campbell alluded to it at the beginning of the year. He said we know it's going to be rough in the beginning, but we're kind of aiming to be better towards the end of the year, which I think will happen. It just takes a little bit of patience.
It does. there are. It's growing frustration with this team in the public. I think they have a great chance to stack wins here. But the truth is, this has been after every loss. And you know, we try not to get too high after the wins and not too low after the losses.
Well, there's only one of the 4 losses where it looked like they could have, should have won. And that would have been Minnesota.
Game. Yeah, I mean,
the Packers game to start the season, that was like, you know, a big bucket of cold water thrown at your face. Like, wow, that just happened. Okay. Yep. Are they a problem? And then they reacted the next week and scored 52 against Chicago. The Kansas City game was frustrating. Like, wow, they could get nothing going in that game. But, hey, it's Kansas City, team that's, you know, in the throes of a dynasty here. Okay. But the Minnesota game, that was different. And that one sucked. They lost that. It responded the next week. And then this game against Philadelphia, it rings the bell for a lot of fears that Lions fans had. That there were the fears going into the season. Is the offensive line going to be as good? Is it going to be a problem with having a different offensive coordinator? I'm not so concerned about the coordinator aspect of it. I've said a million times, it's Dan Campbell's offense. It was his offense before Ben Johnson came on board. It's his offense afterwards. To me, it still comes down to that offensive line. It's nowhere near what it was last year, and it's really hard to try to live up to that expectation when Frank Ragnow retired. That's the biggest loss in this team by far.
Feedback here. It's funny how you guys say it's worked for them so far. They've won nothing but a division titles. When all the big games counted, it went south.
All of them?
They won two playoff games. Those must not have been big games. They won last year. They had a do or die game against Minnesota. That wasn't a big game. Like, what's a big game? Are the big games?
Only the playoff games that you lose.
Only the ones that they lose. Got it.
Yeah, those people, you have to win the Super Bowl for those people. And because otherwise they'll be like, well, they lost the Super Bowl. They can't win a big game.
That's not. But our message is not you don't have to win the Super Bowl. But the message is they're in the mix here. They're competing for a Super Bowl. They have competed for a Super Bowl. And let me also back up and say, we keep defending them against what we think is unfair criticism. And for the people, like, you don't hear people around the country saying things like, Dan Campbell is full of hot air. They'll never win with Dan Campbell. Are NFL insiders around the country saying that? Are other teams saying
that?
I don't think so,
but I'm sure you can find some people nationally that will be critical of what happened against Philadelphia. Yeah, because it's a hot take world. And that's fine. And I think it's deserved against Philadelphia in that one snapshot. In that game, there were some problems. But by and large, when you take a look and take a step back and look at the big picture with this team, I think there's reason to be optimistic about where the team's headed. And there's also reason for concerns.
Paul writes in, worst fan base in football. I don't know if they're the worst fan base in football. I don't think that's true at all.
I don't think this is atypical of any fan base.
No.
There is a vocal minority. I think the minority is people that are hypercritical about the team and players and coaches, and they want their voice heard, and I think that's a very vocal minority. It's a lower percentage, but it's a higher percentage of people that would call into a radio show.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's... I think that it is actually probably one of the best fan bases in the country. Yeah, I think it's just
great fan base.
Yeah, and I
take over other stadiums.
Yes, regularly.
Yes.
So I'm not. I guess I don't agree with that. I think there's some people that haven't maybe don't watch other teams play. Don't see Ward's. Well,
the other thing is when you have somebody that's critical about things that we've talked about, critical about Brad Holmes, critical about Dan Campbell, or critical of Jared Goff, and then you throw the question back at him. Okay, so would you fire Dan Campbell now? What are you suggesting? Well, that's what you're suggesting.
Well, if you don't think, I guess if you don't think they can win a Super Bowl with these people, you would move on. Is that a logical conclusion?
Should be, right? Isn't it?
But that's to be clear, that's only to the people that say definitively you cannot win with Dan Campbell or you cannot win with Brad Holmes. And basically what they're saying is I would have done it differently. So I'm right, they're wrong. But whatever. You know, it's we need Sunday to get here so fast. Right. They need to beat the crap out of the Giants so bad.
And then get to Thanksgiving, hopefully you beat the Packers. That's not to say that what we're saying is the right way either. I think
not necessarily.
Lots of things can be true at the same time. I'm willing to be a little bit more patient and see if this offensive line can come together. I do like the strides they've made defensively while playing without their secondary. I think that's impressive. And yes, I do think there are holes in this team's game. However, those holes aren't so big that they would, I think, cost this team a run in the playoffs.
What do you mean by cost them a run? Do you mean make the playoffs?
Yes, exactly.
Or you think they can still get on a run?
I think this team can absolutely get on a roll here offensively. with a couple of things that can change. If this offensive line gels, right? If it becomes all of a sudden it's a well-oiled machine where everybody knows what the responsibilities are in any given play.
Well, that's always been the question, though, Gators. Yeah,
of course. That's why I'm saying it. They have to get to that point, and we haven't seen it consistently enough. And what our eyes saw last against Philadelphia was a disaster, and a disaster of epic proportions when you couldn't get any short yardage situation to go your way, 0 for 5 on fourth downs, including the fake punt and all that, and you know, bypassing a field goal opportunity early in the game when it was a gimme field goal. All that. I got it. You know, when Jamison Williams humping the goalpost and costing you a better attempt at an extra point. And yet you lost by a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we need to put it in perspective. And okay, yes, there's a lot of negative. There's some positive. How can they be moving forward? Do you still see a path where this team actually gets better by the end of the season? And for me, I do see that path.
The problem is the impediment is right in front of us, though. The impediment is that game probably ruined the chances at home field, which means the Super Bowl probably goes through Philly. But last year, everybody thought the Super Bowl went through Detroit, and Detroit lost before anybody else had to come into Ford Field. So, you know, you just never know how these things are. But in fact, the first year, the Lions were supposed to host one playoff game. There was an upset, and they ended up hosting two. So upsets can happen. You know, just get in the dance and take care of your own business, and you never know what's going to happen over on the other side, and they just got to make sure that they get on the roll right now. It's the time to get on a roll right now. Here's Rico Beard, made his way in studio. What's up, man?
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
We're good. Right. How are you?
Good, man. Good.
That's good. What do you guys got planned coming up next?
We're going to dabble a little bit Scooble. Article came out for ESPN. Kind of reiterated what we said, the three options the Tigers have. And then it was something that I heard yesterday. I think a lot of shows did it, but just the fact that you got the Wings in first, the Pistons in first, and the Lions not in first, but they're in third. Which one do you think you got more confidence could make your conference finals?
Yeah. Morning Show did that. We kind of piggybacked on it. It's fun to have a debate about the teams at the top, right? And how they all seem to be in the mix.
But if you had to put that car mortgage or whatever.
Car house log of the week.
Which of the three would you put it on?
To get to the conference finals?
Yeah. Or NFC title game.
It's probably the Lions. Still,
really?
For me, yeah.
For me, it's Pistons.
Yeah.
It's so early in the other sports.
The Pistons.
The weird thing about the Pistons is so early, but they have played shorthanded already and are stacking up wins.
And they kind of have the advantage because
Indiana and Boston, yeah.
Yeah. So take advantage of that.
It'd be nice. They got a shot. But all right. Look, you guys have a great show. Just a reminder, you can stream their show using the Odyssey app. Get it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. You can also stream with video on Twitch and YouTube. Stream through our website, 971theticket.com. Stay safe, everybody, and treat each other with respect. 97.1 The Ticket.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.